Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. We're on Podbean, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. We're also on Dash Radio on their Nothing But Net channel every single weeknight at 7 p.m. Make sure you're subscribing to Five Reasons YouTube. If you hit that subscribe button, you will know the posts up 5R as soon as the game ends, before floor, an hour before every game begins, and shows throughout the week on all South Florida sports. Also, fivereasonsports.com. Make sure you spell that one out. Unlike the newspapers, we do not have a paywall. And check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. So many of our sponsors are local. That includes our friends over at U-Brake Wheel Fix. You can find them at ubrakewheelfix.com or in North Miami. Talking about culture, the wheel repair, refinish, and custom wheel specialist offers the big three of all your car wheel needs with over 20 years of experience. U-Brake Wheel Fix repairs damaged wheels from curb rash, cracks, or bends, all under one roof with in-house powder coating, CNC machining, and polishing. They also offer new custom wheels and tires from your favorite brands such as Vossen, Fuel Off-Road, just to name a couple. They now offer no credit check financing up to $5,000 for a new set of wheels. Make sure you mention Five Reasons. You'll get a discount. They got fast turnaround times on all repairs, and they even provide loaner wheels in many cases. So check them out. It's over in North Miami off of Biscayne Boulevard and Northeast 146th Street. That's in the Miami Shores area. Go to ubrakewheelfix.com or call 305-748-0112, 305-748-0112. Reach out to Mark at U-Brake Wheel Fix, changing the way that you see wheels. And now, tonight's episode. Down to
Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
Welcome back to Five on the Floor. I am your host, Greg Sylvander. With me for tonight's show is Brady Hawk. You can follow him at BradyHawk305. Tonight's floor plan, it's going to be a fun one because we're going to break down the Miami Heat's 99-82 victory over the Philadelphia 76ers at home. It was a game that was not the most aesthetically pleasing game, we'll say. There were definitely some clunky moments, but overall the Heat gutted it out and now are a full three games up in the Eastern Conference standings. And I just want to reiterate as we open here to everybody that, and I said this early on in the season, and I just want to come back to it. And I just want to acknowledge it as we are getting closer to the end of this season. I have never been more confident about a Miami Heat team being a contender, being able to go and win a championship since LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh had Heat uniforms on. Like, that's just, I felt that very early on. One seed I didn't even think was possible. The fact that they're positioning themselves in a way that now they're going to, if there was some really bad collapse, they could fall out of the one seed. But three games up is a lot at this point. So to me, I think it's important to just recognize that they're so much better than I think any of us thought that they could be. So now I jump off the soapbox. I had to say that we have to give this team flowers. There's so much. Brady said it before this show started, and I'm gonna let him talk now. He was like, this team is just so much fun. And it's so true. Like, it from a sheer basketball perspective, it is so much fun. There were some things that weren't as fun, but Brady, let's start with the fun stuff. Tyler Hero, I want your key takeaways from the game, because you dissecting the game is going to do a lot more for our listeners than me. But also, I'd love to hear just what you thought about Tyler's game, because I thought he did some really, really interesting things against this Philadelphia team.
Yeah, I think the first thing, and I'm sure we'll get into a little bit more, was the zone that they saw, because they just saw it for such a long period. But not to get into it too much right now, but the way that when Tyler entered, he was their only zone buster that they had on this roster tonight. Like, he was the only guy, and he immediately got them to shift it a little bit. That when they got to the bench unit, they started going zone and kind of shifting into man midway through the possession, because Tyler was kind of just breaking the middle of the top of the zone, getting to his floater, which is becoming a staple of his game. We constantly talk about the mid-range pull-up. We talk about so many things. Recently, just kind of over this recent stretch, strictly, that floater has just been really something. And somebody asked him about a couple of games ago, was like disguising it with the lob pass, because it's something, first of all, that the guy on the other side, James Harden, basically mastered. Trae Young's really good at. He's getting to that level of kind of disguising it in a way that it's making it hard to defend. So that's kind of where it starts. I just feel like, for one, being able to get to those spots, I feel like, is discussed, because I feel like last season we discussed in so many of these podcasts the separation thing of just trying to get to those spots on the floor. He's getting to those spots and he's taking advantage of those spots. So that's what kind of sticks out. And a lot of the times where he's doing his best work is in the lineups where he's the headliner, where he's running these bench lineups and he has Gabe and Caleb and Max and Deadman next to him and he's just going. It's just big time stuff. I just looked at over his last six games, he's averaging 25 a night, and I think they're 5-1 in that stretch. Probably one of their biggest stretches of the season, one of their toughest schedule, you know, little slates of games that they've had. Like, if this isn't a headline of being sixth man of the year, I don't know what is, because for him to take over in this way, one turnover away from going 4-0 against a Bulls, Bucks, Nets, Sixers, four game slate is pretty impressive. But it's just more about the way that he's doing it. 1-for-3 from deep tonight. Like, I like that number. I like that he doesn't have to rely on the three-pointer and have to go into that strictly, that he's able to kind of dissect defenses. I talked about last game, the pick and roll stuff. We're still seeing that, obviously not as much tonight because we saw zone, but that next level to kind of dissect these things inside the arc is just what kind of sticks out for him in a playoff setting, because we always talk about half court offense and kind of going down in the playoffs. I think they have a lot of trust in him in that setting compared to last season in the first round.
No, I totally agree. I think that there is a degree when you see him getting those 2-point buckets, you know that he's feeling good, because he's not just kind of relying on a step back 3-pointer and hoping that you're hot that night. You know, he's really getting to the spots that he wants to get to. I'm totally with you there. And we're going to touch on a bunch of guys. So just so you listeners know, as we're going to go quickly, but I do, there's a lot of guys that I want to discuss about tonight's game and how they kind of showed up or did not. And one is the guy that you named there that was part of some of these lineups with Tyler, where Tyler gets to be the headline scorer, but towards the end of the game, when the zone had bogged the Heat down to the point where I think every Heat fan was like, can the clock just run out? Caleb Martin came up with two huge, huge defensive plays to completely disrupt their ability to even get into any kind of zone or anything like that. Caleb Martin, he's so impressive, Brady. I don't know how the hell they found a player with this much talent that fits in and has such athletic ability, and that nobody had him. That just blows my mind. Talk about Caleb Martin tonight specifically.
Yeah. I think, speaking of the zone again, we were kept talking about how are they going to break it. When they started getting a rhythm with that second unit, it was like, stay with this group. And they kind of did. They inserted Jimmy in for Gabe to get a little bit more size. And they rode that lineup out, and that obviously led to good things. But if you look at the box score, you see 14 points, 2 steals, 0 rebounds, 0 assists. Like, if you were box score watching tonight, that'll stick out as your opinion of Caleb Martin, because he simply took over. After the first steal, he got that steal where he hit the pass and then got the open dunk. After that point, every possession he had his fingerprints on, because he had straight rotations, the top of the zone, he was everywhere, just altering shots offensively. He was about to take another corner three, and then he got the foul call when he did that sidestep that's becoming a signature of his. He's just doing so many things. And we talked about this the other day after, I think it was the Nets game, where we said, like, his biggest moments have come in the biggest games at the biggest times, where he shows up in clutch moments. That I just feel like, when we talk about rotations, we talk about Depot Day coming up on Monday, the stuff he provides, like, it doesn't come down to him scoring offensively, which it does with a lot of these guys. It comes down to him just being out there, like the defense, the being in the right spot, like all that stuff matters. And when it comes down to it in the fourth quarters, he just always is. But it's also 5-for-7 from the field, like his efficiency every night, like everything is aligned with a Heat player, that it really is wild, to your point, that they found this guy out of nowhere, that it was just, so let me get the second half of a twin to take a flyer on. And now he's closing games in your biggest stretch of your season. Really just makes no sense.
Right. Thanks, J. Cole. I read that article. I think it was from the Charlotte Observer. Shout out. I can't think of the author at this moment. But shout out to that article where it talked about J. Cole got connected with Caron Butler to get Caleb Martin a look-see from Miami. And now look at them, because you're right. Like, think about this four-game gauntlet, this Chicago, Brooklyn, Milwaukee, Philadelphia thing. Like, Caleb Martin plays an integral role in all of those series, but in different ways. It's weird the way to even be able to quantify what he does. Cause you're right. He's like a hooper. Like, he just, you're not looking for him to do one specific thing. You just put him on the court and he just connects things together. So definitely shout out to Caleb Martin. We got a couple of other guys I want to talk about. Because Bam Adebayo didn't have the greatest game at times. And I think that there's a conversation to be had there about the matchup with Embiid. But before we go any further, I want to tell you about one of the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network, and one that works very closely with myself. All of my appearances on Five on the Floor are sponsored by Water Cleanup of Florida. Go to watercleanupflorida.com. So if you're looking for a property damage assessment, anything that has to do with, if you had water damage, or you have mold, or you need anything, water removal or extractions, drying, dehumidifying, mold remediation. These are all things that they can provide for you, cleaning and disinfecting. So they're experts at all those things. They are servicing Delray Beach, but also all different parts of South Florida. They are proudly serving Boca Raton, Delray Beach, Boynton Beach, Coral Springs, Parkland. So that's water, mold, fire, rebuild, 24-hour even emergency service. So you can contact them at 561-408-7835. Michael and the team there are great. They'll take great care of you. That's 561-408-7835. That's Water Cleanup of Florida. Visit them at watercleanupflorida.com. All right. I am still sick, so I apologize to the listeners for my voice, and also just the fact that you have to listen to this nasally version of myself, because I know I usually sound like that anyway. But so back to this game, Bam Adebayo versus Joel Embiid. I started getting messages in the first quarter. Does Bam look shook? Does he look intimidated by Joel Embiid? And I didn't think he didn't look intimidated. He looked like he was like too excited for the matchup or something like that. What did you see? Like, do you think that I'm onto something, that he was just a little too hyped? He didn't shoot well, came up big at the end. What was your thoughts on Bam's performance? Because when you look at 3 of 10, 6 points, you're thinking, oh no, this is not a good Bam game, but they ended up finding a way to win anyway.
Yeah, to me, it wasn't the Embiid factor. It was the 2-3 zone factor. Like, that was the biggest part of the 2-3 zone for me. When I'm watching this, the way to exploit it is Bam Adebayo. Like, he's the way to get this. So we talk about, you have to get the ball in the middle. That's where you make your decisions. That's where you make your kickouts. That's where you make everything from that spot on the floor. But the way to get to that point is you have to take advantage of the shot in front of you before you start making those kickouts and making those reads. And he just wasn't taking the mid-range jumper. He almost split carries in a lot of ways with Jimmy in the middle of the floor, but Jimmy wasn't taking that shot either. That's why I was saying before, like, ride out this bench lineup, because they can kind of dissect this zone a little bit more than what we saw from the starting lineup. But it was just more about Bam taking that shot. And it's the same thing we talked about, with the Brook Lopez factor of taking the mid-range jumper when it's there, or different bigs that drop off. He just has to be confident in himself. Like, it doesn't matter what the box score says. It doesn't matter how many shots he's missed before that point. Like, to get to a certain point in the Heat's offense, they need him to be aggressive, but they also, against these certain coverages, need him to take certain shots. And that was just one of these nights where that's where it kind of comes down to me. Like, it didn't feel like one of those nights where he needed to attack, because there wasn't really an opening there for him to attack. There wasn't a matchup for him to attack. It was just taking that jumper and just living with it. But it really didn't get to that point. They ended up taking advantage anyway with basically Tyler taking over. But I think that's what's interesting about this team. We talk about the future, the two players. If these two players can bounce off each other in these ways, where if Tyler can take advantage of Bam having a rough night, or Bam can take advantage of Hero having a missed rotation or bad defensive play on the other end. Like, that's what makes this duo so interesting, because up to this point, up to this past maybe 2 week stretch, I don't think I've been to this level of saying these two can play and bounce off each other at this way.
That's a really good point. And a couple other things about Bam's performance that I think is worth pointing out. 6 points, 3 of 10. He still got up double digit field goal attempts in 31 minutes. So just like for reference, when he shot 21 shots against San Antonio, he played 34 minutes. When he got up 30 or 21 shots at New Orleans, he played 35 minutes. Just so recently, he played 37 minutes, 33 minutes in recent games where he got up 17 and 15 shots. So he was aggressive. And I think that that's important that we continue to see that from Bam. And here's the other part of it. He didn't just shrink in terms of getting heady because his shot wasn't falling. He was still active on the glass. I think that there were some plays defensively that that he still played, well, and did the things that he needed to do, just with managing Embiid and all of the flailing and the fouls that really were annoying the hell out of me. So ultimately for me, this it looks like a much worse Bam game than I actually think it really is in the grand scheme. But let's move to Jimmy, because Jimmy, I felt like they couldn't guard Jimmy tonight. Jimmy looked sharp. He looked sharper than he's looked recently. I know he had 4 turnovers, so that's never great, but got to the free throw line, was efficient, just looked like he had his touch back. I guess it's good that he had a couple days off, and hopefully if they can secure the one seed, he'll get more of those. Anything special from Jimmy tonight, or was it stat quo for the most part from your perspective?
Yeah, I don't want to over point out the zone, but that's like another element, as I just kind of point out, was that kind of threw off his field goal percentage, because I would agree. Like, I felt like his touch was back tonight. I felt like around the rim specifically, like he was finishing well. 6 of 15 ended up going, because I felt like he was doing those like one hand push shots from the free throw line that was just really unconventional in that zone.
So ugly,
I think in that third quarter, I think Butler and Bam were like 2 of 9 combined, and they were like the ones that took all the shots except a couple from Tyler at the end of the third. That's problematic. I know Spo just said something along the lines after the game that they may end up seeing more zone. Like, if teams are watching what they just did, having these issues, some teams are going to throw it at them and they have to be able to respond. I think this is a good thing that they saw it, because at this point of the season, they need time to kind of figure that out, figure out that coverage. But Jimmy's going to be a big piece of that as well. But he did look sharp, like 8 of 11 from the line. When he has the two factors of finishing well around the rim and getting to the line, like, that's important. And it's also specifically getting to the line against this team, because when they have Harden and they have Embiid, we know that they can kind of dictate pace because of the way they can get to the line. If Jimmy can semi-match that, because he's not going to do it at the same level, but if he can kind of match that in ways, and Kyle's also in this realm, because if he can do it too, they're going to have to draw pace, get the pace back in their direction in this type of matchup. And I think Jimmy has the ability to do it because of the reason of we talked about with the Bucks. Like, this is a team where he can hunt a Tyrese Maxey. He can hunt these type of guys. And that's when he can get into his jumper. It's when he gets into his finishing, because he's just much better when he gets those type of switches.
Yeah, no, you're right. There's a difference between what Milwaukee can throw at Jimmy and the things that Philadelphia can do. They're going to have to do some collective stuff that Milwaukee just has bigger bodies that can do individually. So spot on there. We're going to close up shop on this game, cover a couple more things that I thought were noteworthy. And then not look ahead too far though, because we're going to do an entire episode, dedicated to the return of Victor Oladipo. But before we do, want to tell you about one more of our great sponsors here at the 5 Reasons Sports Network and 5 on the Floor. And that is Prize Picks, my favorite daily fantasy app on the planet. It is super easy. Daily fantasy made easy. It's basically like 3 steps. 1, you go on the app and you pick your favorite stars. You can select anywhere between 2 and 5 players, regardless of sport. You choose their over and under. So you pick whether each player will do well or they're going to have an off day. You know, they'll have all of their statistics there. They'll give you a number. Are they going to go over this many points, under this many points? Like tonight, Bam or Jimmy Butler was 19.5. I went over, and I hit that one. I didn't hit all of them though, unfortunately. But the fun part of it is you can stack the players together, and then you can do like a four pick or a three pick power play or a flex play. So essentially you pick, you watch your players win. You can win up to 10 times your money. Use the promo code five. That's FIVE. Use that when you sign up and deposit. It will double your initial deposit up to $100. So that's Prize Picks. Download the app wherever you download apps, but go to prizepicks.com for more information. Use the code five, FIVE, to double your initial deposit up to $100. All right, Brady. Couple more things and we're going to close out here. I thought it was interesting that PJ Tucker and Duncan Robinson were such non-factors. It felt like, I thought that that was an interesting wrinkle here, that Max Strus, you know, ended up finding ways to get open. I guess maybe it's just because he just doesn't care and just throws it up from wherever. So I'm interested to hear your thoughts about how PJ and Duncan fared tonight. And then Gabe Vincent had a great game, and I don't think we should go this whole podcast and not mention him. So we need to mention him at some point. I'm trying to hit everybody so that it's equal opportunity for everybody. But the last part that I'm interested to hear from you on is, do you think this would have been any different, and how so, if James Harden had played? So first let's skip on back to PJ and Duncan Robinson, and then we'll close with the James Harden stuff.
Yeah, I think the PJ element was, I think, early, really early on. He had the one field goal was when Bam kind of hit him in the pocket. He had that little baseline floater. After that, he didn't hit another shot. And I think that has a lot to do with, once again, the zone. And the reason I keep bringing up the zone, first of all, is we saw the zone basically the entire game. Like, this wasn't one of the Heat's little stretches. Like, they faced this 76ers zone basically the entire second half. So that kind of restricts some things, because the corner sprays just weren't really there, especially with the way that, like I said before, Bam and Jimmy in the middle weren't taking advantage. So the kickouts weren't there. They were kind of flying out. And he's not a guy that's going to take a contested in any fashion in the corner. Like, it's going to be a wide open look, and he just wasn't getting many of those. I think that's another reason why he didn't close. Part of it was that that lineup was rolling. The other part of it, I just don't think this was a matchup that he was really needed at the end of the game defensively, and he wasn't providing things offensively in that way. Duncan Robinson, second half, I don't think he even had an attempt. But the thing is he's an element of this matchup that I think is the exploitable piece. Like, if they were to match up in a playoff series, I think he's the difference maker, because as we saw early on with the way Embiid plays on that deep drop.
They lead.
It's basically, you have to eliminate his individual defender. It's just like, eliminate one guy and he's going to get a decent look, and he just has to take advantage of it. Like, it just comes down to Duncan hitting open shots in that series. And I think many people will take, you know, that bet most nights. It's also an element of putting Thibault. If he gets going, they have to put Thibault on him to try to take those screens. Then it leaves a guy like Tyler open and then lets him kind of go. So I feel like Duncan in that type of series really opens things up. We didn't really get to see it that much in this one, but I think Kyle being back kind of opens that up a little bit more, because with the ball handling he has, it kind of gets Duncan other looks. He's not the focal point, but it really does just come down for him. It's hitting open shots. And then Gabe,
he kind of did Caleb. Instead of Duncan doing it, Gabe did basically it tonight. You know what I mean?
Which is weird, because I feel like everybody loves to compare Max and Duncan, but Gabe and Duncan are kind of comparable in those ways. But he is a guy that I feel like he goes under the radar so many times, because we're getting to the point where we expect it. Like, we expect a 6 of 8 night, a 4 of 6 from three, a 16 point night. Like, the things he's providing in that way. And a lot of those threes, much like I said with Caleb, a couple of those shots were like really big, like where it cut down to 4 or 5 or 3 and he hits a three and he kind of puts it right back up to where it was. That stuff's just so important. I think, like I said, they put Jimmy in for him late because of the size thing. But he's able to match up with Maxi in that way. And he's able to provide things offensively. Like, when we're talking about rotations, and I know we keep having this debate, but I feel like Caleb is the most flexible because he's the most consistent in that way on both ends, that Gabe, I think, is the perfect player to have as a spark piece. Like, if we're looking at a thing, like, I don't think they have to go straight 8 or straight 9. Like, they can switch it up in the second half and go with a different 8 or 9. Like, right, when we're talking about them going down, like, I think that's Gabe's role, because I think it could be from game to game as well. Like, there could be a game that they say, like, we need some more offense in this one after a tough game one. that's what he's going to be, because he can really provide that. And he's not like these other offensive punches that really just give things up on the other end, because as we know, he competes on that end at a very, very high level. So he's just an interesting piece to add in to that type of mix, but he's also a guy that you can make the argument could be there consistently. So it'll be interesting, but this was just another big game night. It's just another of these nights where you look at the stat sheet, it was just a lot of these guys provided something, and that's what makes this team so interesting.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on Gabe. And especially like, because he doesn't have all the defensive deficiencies, I am going to be fascinated to see Eric Spoelstra figure out a way to keep Caleb Martin and Gabe Vincent off the court, because that kind of defensive stuff that they do, like Spo's intuition is to just play those kind of guys, but you know how many, you know how crowded this rotation is. So that's going to be fun, especially.
Do you think they could go 10?
I think they could, but in the scenario that you mentioned it it would be spot minutes. So like he would be in the box score and he would have 7 minutes, you know what I mean? But like right. He would have played for just a stretch. I think that they could deploy him on a certain player. If somebody who's really, you know, getting off and they just want to, you know, like guard him full court and just turn him 100 times or something like that. I could see Gabe doing that also because of his hot shooting. So I'm with you there, but I don't know. I think eventually they'll get to a point where it'll settle down to 9. And that's just the fascinating part. So lastly, as we close here, I don't think that this game would have gone that much differently if James Harden played. I don't think James Harden was in the mind frame to want to play, but I don't know. I think that they still would have probably deployed that zone because James Harden needs to be hidden himself. And I think he wouldn't make as great decisions as most people. Am I off there? Do you think that they would have had a different game plan?
I definitely don't think Miami would have had a different game plan. That's what stuck out to me, is that I said before this game earlier in the day that they were going to obviously put PJ and Harden, Bam on Embiid, and kind of predict the switches, which I think is a win for both, as they've been doing. They basically altered it to doing it with Maxey and Embiid, where they just shifted the whole plan over one guy, and they put PJ on Maxey right out the gate, and they were predicting the switches. That's why I don't think it would have gone totally differently in that way. But I think the free throw box score would look a lot different. I think maybe Embiid's looks would look a lot different, because obviously he gets a lot easier looks. So it's just hard to say in that way. But we can also say that, how would things have looked offensively with Kyle in there? Because I don't think they would have been able to stay in that zone as long if Kyle Lowry was in there. Like, we can dissect this zone thing, and I could go on and on about the things that went wrong tonight. But if Kyle Lowry's in there, they cannot go zone for a whole half or even a whole quarter, because he can put guys and he directs traffic and he knows where to put the ball. So I think that's just kind of all up in the air that we can discuss. But I think I'm just interested in that. That's the reason I wanted to see Harden play tonight, is I'm interested to see how they defend that combo, because we know they defended Embiid. Like, we saw right out the gate, they were throwing three guys essentially at Embiid.
Yeah.
And I think like 4 straight possessions, I called them as like the play, make Korkmaz beat you, because they just kept swinging it to Korkmaz and he bricked like 3 straight threes. Like, that's what they want you to do. The issue is that if you're doubling or tripling Embiid and Harden's on that backside making the decisions, it's just a lot tougher. And I just wonder how they kind of handle that. And if they just have total trust in, maybe if Bam's switching on Harden, they're saying, okay, we have total trust in him making the rotation and just kind of hounding Harden. I'm just totally interested in that way, but I still feel, as I've said for a while, is like, I think the Heat are pretty comfortable against these inside the arc teams. Like, they can defend them much more comfortably. And it's not because of like Jimmy, the free safety and doubling. It's just because this is one of the most sound Heat rotation teams I've seen. Like, they're always there on the rotation. It has a lot to do with these same guys we're discussing, Gabe and Caleb. They're just really sound in that way, that this game plan fits this team so well that I'm interested to see how they would kind of deal with that combo.
Yeah, no, they're on a string, and I'm interested too. I mean, Harden's a little bit of a ball stopper in ways, so I don't know. I mean, I know he gets lots of assists, but we know how he gets those assists. But I digress with James Harden for the night. So let's just recap quickly here for everybody. Without Kyle Lowry, the Miami Heat beat the Chicago Bulls. They almost beat Milwaukee. I mean, like literally 1 point, Drew Holiday. Oh, I mean, Bam almost got that shot, by the way. We didn't ever even talk about that, really. Or maybe we did. I've been sick with the flu, so I could have missed y'all talking about that. They beat Brooklyn, no Kyle, and now they've beaten Philadelphia. They are 3 games up in the loss column. They are the 1 seed in the Eastern Conference. That means the Eastern Conference will go through Miami if things hold as they are today. And right now, Philadelphia and Milwaukee are in the 2-3. So that would, I think, be the best case scenario. Things are looking good. So let's hope it continues. Thank you for hanging with us. Next episode will be all about Victor Oladipo as we gear up for his return against Houston on Monday. Thank you to our sponsors, Water Cleanup of Florida and PrizePicks.com. Use the code 5 there. Thanks, Brady, for joining us. And as I always say, Ethan doesn't say it, but I do. Let's go Heat.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Regional Sports Network.